the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, since this is the Sunday before Theophany, Theophany being on Wednesday, it is appropriate to read this passage from St. Mark, which of course is about just before the Christ's ministry, and about the baptism of John, which was a prelude pointing to our baptism. Now, it says right here, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. St. Mark began with the baptism of John, and St. Matthew began, of course, with the Nativity. But the beginning here is meant that the New Testament was beginning because the Old Testament was ending. St. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. As is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Those are two quotes from the scriptures, one from Malachi, whom we also commemorate today, just because of the date of the year, and also from Isaiah. The first one is from Malachi. "Behold, I send my messenger," or angel, "before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." There's some inner meaning in this. Of course, the messenger is St. John the Baptizer. And "before thy face" is an indication that he was related to the Lord, because in a king's procession, those that are before his face, that is closest to him, are his family. St. John and the Lord were cousins. "And he shall prepare thy way before thee." This is speaking, Prophet Malachi is speaking to Christ about St. John. So St. John is preparing the way for Christ. And how did he do it? Well, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the Lord, the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John preached about repentance. And he baptized. This was a baptism, as the scripture says, of repentance, and some translations say for the remission of sins. It's actually leading to or pointing to the remission of sins. His baptism did not provide remission of sins. It provided an opportunity for people to confess their sins and show that they were sorry for their sins and to make a new beginning. But it wasn't for the remission of sins. Baptism, Christian baptism, is for the remission of sins. But it was an example, and it pointed towards the remission of sins, pointed towards the Christian baptism. Also, our Lord's baptism also pointed to the Christian baptism and was for the remission of sins. The difference being that his baptism changed the nature of water so that when it is blessed, it imparts the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, both baptisms were pointing to and directing us to the Christian baptism. The one having no efficacy in and of itself, it was merely people confessing their sins and showing that they were sorry for their sins. And then the other actually making it so we would be changed by the waters of baptism. And it's a fundamental dogma that when we are baptized, we are changed. We go down the old man and come up the new creature. And that new creature is the person that can, I say can, not necessarily will, but can become perfected. You become able to become perfected. But of course we know that you might have abilities in many things, but if you do not apply yourself to these things that you have abilities with, your talent, your ability will be wasted. And it is the same way with baptism. Now, what does it mean, "prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight"? Well, let's go backwards first. The one crying in the wilderness. Of course, St. John was in the wilderness, right? He was in the Jordanian desert, the wilderness. And people were going out generally to less inhabited areas to hear him speak. and to have him baptize. But it also is a reference towards the dead synagogues of the Jews, because the Jews had lost the meaning of our Lord's message in the Old Testament, because all of our Lord's message in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ. Everything is about him. All of the rituals of the Jews, for everything from the lamb and everything else, is pointing to Jesus Christ. But the Jews had come up with thousands, literally thousands of regulations that were so incredibly complicated, nobody really knew them, except the people that said they knew them, the scribes and the Pharisees. So their religion became one really of dead works. And they had lost knowing the one thing needful. And so John was crying out in this wilderness to these people that had lost the knowledge of what is right and wrong. Not completely. People don't completely lose what's right and wrong. They just become unable to really follow it very, very exactly or very often. And that's what was happening with the Jews. So John was not only physically in a wilderness, he was speaking to people who were parched with thirst because of being in a wilderness. And of course, the one who would slake their thirst was Jesus Christ, who was coming shortly after John. John was 6 months older than Christ. He preached just before Christ came into the world to preach. Now, it says John did baptize in the wilderness and it's preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This is the same thing for us now, except our baptism of repentance is truly to remit all sins, both that we've committed before baptism, all sins before baptism. But it doesn't remit the sins after baptism. Baptism doesn't automatically make you forgiven of the sins you will commit. For that, we need the second baptism, that is, repentance. Of course, I speak allegorically because there is one baptism for the remission of sins. But there is also repentance at which God will at every time remit our sins if we repent. Of course, to repent means to change, to decide that what you're doing or what you haven't done is wrong, and that you want to change, you want to become better. So you're not just sorry for what you did, but you make your mind up that you want to change from what you are to something that you should be. That's what actual repentance is. And that's what the preparation was too. It says, make his path straight. I emphasize probably almost every time I preach, because it's so important. The scriptures are moral. They are talking to you and to me directly. They are saying something to you right now. What is it that they are saying? You should search that out. They're not just a historical record. They're not just a dogmatic record. They are speaking to you, precisely to you and to me, about ourselves. And the message is always moral. Because how can you have truth without morality? And this is the message today. Make his path straight. That is, live a righteous life. Baptism is of no use to you or to me or to anyone else if we do not strive to live righteously afterwards. Baptism gives you the ability to start to live righteously. But if you don't do it, then what use was your baptism? This is the call. And it's every day that we have this call. We should hear this call every day in our hearts. The call of St. John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make its path straight. Of course, this speaking of the way of the Lord was speaking of literally the Lord coming into the world and preaching and teaching and having disciples and being baptized and then going through his passion and his death and his resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit. All those things are the way of the Lord. But also, the way of the Lord is His way, His path into our souls. Because we do believe, we know that the Lord abides in us, right? We are temples of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus Christ. So the way of the Lord is also His way, His path into our souls. Now, that might be a little different for each one of us, because there are different things that are right or that are wrong with us. So there are different life experiences that we must go through. But the end result is that the Lord should abide in us, and there should be no darkness in us and no coldness in us at all, because the Lord will be there and everything will be clean and in order and with and peaceful and holy. That's the purpose of our lives, to prepare the way of the Lord as much as we are capable, so that He would abide in us. Now, this is not dependent upon us only, but it is dependent upon us. We should not make any mistake. We cannot be saved by anything we do, but we cannot be saved without doing things. We cannot be saved without striving for righteousness. We cannot be saved without attempting to prepare the way of the Lord. So this is a call to you today. Are you preparing the way of the Lord? Are you making His path straight? We have the idiom in our language of a crook. That comes from this idea that something that is crooked is evil or is dishonest. So these paths that are twisted should become straight. In other words, you should live a righteous life. Now, I want you to understand, especially because we are in, you know, in the culture that we're in, there is the idea that if you speak of living a righteous life, you're saying that you are saved by works. Some of you, most of you probably are aware of this idea. Some of you probably maybe are not. And that's just fine if you're not aware of this idea, but it does permeate our culture. You cannot be saved without striving for righteousness. It will not happen. Now, as far as how righteous you become, God will help you. But your life, your mission, your ministry is to prepare the way of the Lord. That is, to struggle for righteousness. That's what this gospel is speaking of. So it speaks of this struggle for righteousness and this awareness of our unrighteousness before we speak of the baptism of the Lord, which wipes away all sin previous to baptism and enables us to become righteous. But only if this very important ingredient is added, and that is our desire and our effort. You can't be saved without effort. It just will not happen. Anybody that thinks that they can only say they're a Christian and occasionally come to church, occasionally pray, perhaps fast when it's convenient, you're fooling yourself. Salvation is something that takes great effort. It takes great effort because of the stuff in us that is resistant to it. And if you look in your heart, you'll see there's all kinds of stuff in your heart that's resistant to the gospel. The Lord says that if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other one to Him. How often does that happen in your life? That someone slanders you, or hurts you, or lies about you, or in some way harms you, and you only think of their welfare, and you pray for them, but not be angry with them, much less strike out against them in any way. How often does that happen? It should happen 100% of the time. But our heart doesn't want to do that. So you can tell just from that one example that there are things in our heart that resist the gospel. And you must resist those things. You must not give them any quarter. You must always, every day of your life, be trying to prepare the way of the Lord. Because it's not something that's just bam, it happens. It's something that happens over time as we make effort. There is no salvation without effort. I've told you before, And I'll say it again. The greatest heresy ever is that there can be salvation without effort. That's permeated much of our culture. And even among Orthodox Christians, there is somewhat of a thinking, okay, you know, I'm Orthodox, my family was Orthodox, I go to the great holidays and everything's okay. You cannot be saved without effort. Your Bible should not be dusty. It should be dog-eared. It should be worn because of use. You shouldn't spend more time watching television than you spend praying. You should strive to work on the things in your heart that you know are wrong. Now, sometimes we don't know those things that are wrong because we're not really looking very hard. But I tell you, if you start to look hard, you'll see. You'll see all the things that are wrong. It's very important. Without this aspect of trying to continually prepare the way of the Lord, continually rooting out within us things that are contrary to holiness, we can't be saved. Now, how effective you are at rooting these things out is completely immaterial. Because we can't be saved by works. Therefore, how good we are at becoming good is not important. But that we try is critical. So, the message today, brothers and sisters, and the message every day, if you look at the scriptures, it's everywhere. It just jumps out of every page, is to live righteously. Because if you don't live righteously, how can you know the one who is righteous? It's the purpose of our life, to know righteousness. To know God, who is righteous. If you're not humble, you can't know anything about the great humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't love unconditionally, without anger, without a desire for revenge, then you have no idea how the Lord loves us. If you cannot control your passions, you have no idea of what temperance is. And on and on. We understand the Lord by becoming like Him. But it's a constant struggle. It should be every day that we are not thinking with our minds now, but that our direction is to continually prepare the way of the Lord and make its path straight. To root out whatever's wrong with us. So that the Lord would abide there. And there would be nothing else. No distractions, no passions, no anger, no lust, no jealousy. Only the Lord and peace. That's what we're called for. Baptism is a very important piece of this calling. Without it, our salvation would not be possible. But without our desire and our will and our effort, salvation would not be possible for us either. So may God help you to prepare the way of the Lord every day and make His path straight so that He would abide in you in all peace and holiness. Amen.